Have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. You know, on Sundays, we are in our relaunch series. Not only did we relaunch here into a newly remodeled sanctuary, but we are talking about relaunch. And we're using the verse out of Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, that says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing." So many times we get stuck thinking about former things. We get stuck remembering the way that it used to be. And if you get stuck looking backwards, then you're going to miss what God is looking at, because God says, "See, I am doing a new thing." And that new thing is always in front of you. And if you're going to get your eyes on what God wants to do in your future, you've got to get your attention off of all the mistakes that you made in your past. And so God's saying here, it is time to relaunch. He's saying to Isaiah, get off of the past. Let's see this new thing that I want to do in your life. And so we took that verse, and we in week one we talked about relaunching your life, to relaunch your life. And last week we talked about relaunch hope, to relaunch hope. And we said this last week, that the enemy wants to keep you hopeless because he wants to keep you winless. He wants to keep you hopeless because he wants to keep you winless. However, if you want to experience victory in your life, you must first get a firm grip on hope, because hope will always precede triumph. Hope will always come before the victory. And so if you want victory in your life, you've got to first get your hands on hope. But the enemy doesn't want you to have it. He doesn't want you to have any hope in your life, because he doesn't want you to have any victory in your life. And so he wants to keep you hopeless so that you will remain winless. And if you miss one of those weeks and you want to go back and catch up with the series, you can find all of our sermons on our new website or on iTunes. Let's look today, Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. If you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along on the screen behind. "One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and they were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Now go out where it is deeper. Let down your nets to catch some fish.' 'Master,' Simon replied, 'we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again.' And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking." Verse 8, "When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, 'Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you.' For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, they as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people.' As soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus." As soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. This morning, I want to speak to you for the next few moments on relaunch your commitment. Relaunch your commitment. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I ask in the next few moments that you would open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our mind to understand, and our heart to receive the fullness of everything that you want to communicate to us this morning. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. You know, some of us are a little more accustomed to this idea of relaunching commitment. Let me explain. For instance, some of us have been making the exact same New Year's resolution since 1999. We're making the same resolution year after year because we are not seeing the resolution happen between January and December. There are some of us that end each week saying, next week I'm going to start. Next week I'm going to start. And then there's others that aren't looking at the year. They're not looking at the week. There are others of us that say at the end of every day, tomorrow I'm going to wake up early and. Okay, we said every night, tomorrow I'm going to wake up early and go work out. I'm going to wake up early and read my Bible. I'm going to wake up early and get a head start on my day. And we are used to this relaunching, this constant relaunching of commitment. But let's be honest, most of the times after multiple failed tries, we quit trying. After numerous unsuccessful attempts, we don't attempt anymore. After several abandoned commitments, we stop committing to things. And we cease committing because we get tired of living with the disappointment and the failure of not being able to follow through with what we've committed to. So we stop making commitments because we don't want the feeling of failure. We don't want the feeling of disappointment. And because we don't want that feeling, we stop making the commitments because we get convinced that we don't have what it takes to follow through with that commitment. But will you please hear me clearly this morning? You will not make it into your God-ordained destiny or fulfill your God-given purpose without commitment. The only way for you to make it to your promised land, the only way for you to make it to your destination, the only way that you will get to the place that God created you for is with commitment. I can tell you this, I would rather have a trail of broken commitments and failed attempts and be standing in my promised land than I would be standing in the wilderness with no disappointments and no failures. I would rather have a trail of my life of promises that I didn't keep, commitments that I didn't keep, but yet somehow manage to get into the God-ordained destiny of my life than to sit there and say, well, I'm not going to commit anymore. I'm not going to try anymore. I'm not going to attempt anymore because I don't want the feeling of failure in my life. I don't want to be in the wilderness with no disappointment and no failure. I'll take the failure. I'll take the trouble, but give me my promised land. And there is no way that you can get to that place without commitment. See, now is the time. This is the season for you to relaunch your commitment because it is time to resume the journey that leads you to the promise that God has for your life. Now is the time for you to relaunch commitment, a new commitment, a fresh commitment. Relaunch commitment in your life because you are destined to find the place that God created you for. And here in Luke chapter 5, we see a very interesting story as Jesus is teaching right beside the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd begins to grow so large, and they keep getting closer, and they're backing Jesus down to the water. So Jesus looks, and he asks Simon Peter, and he gets in his boat, and he says, can you just push me out in the water a little bit? And Jesus begins to sit down in the boat and begins to teach the people who are on the shore. And in verse 4, the Bible says this, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Now, I don't know if you read the Bible like I read the Bible, but whenever I read the Bible, I always put myself in the story. I always take on the character of one of the people in the story. And I can just tell you, in this moment, if I am Simon Peter, and I had been out there on that water, and I had had an unsuccessful night, I hadn't caught any fish, and I am over there and I'm cleaning my nets, and then Jesus wants to walk over and say, hey, why don't you cast out into the water, drop your nets again? I just think my response would be, wasn't your daddy a carpenter? I mean, I've heard stories about you building chairs and tables, but I've never really heard the stories about you growing up on the water. But Jesus, do you see the name that's on the side of that boat? That's my family name, okay? This is our family business. I own that boat. I have grown up on that boat. I live on the water. This is what I do. I tell you what, Jesus, if my wife wants some new cabinets, I'll give you a call. If I need some new chairs for my kitchen table, then I'll ask you for advice. But as long as we're talking about the water, and as long as we're talking about fish, you just leave that up to me. I know what I'm doing. And then in verse 5, John replies, and he says, excuse me, Peter, Simon Peter replies, and he says, Master, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. We worked hard. What was he telling Jesus? He said, Jesus, I was committed all night long. I didn't give up all night long. I dropped these nets in the water over and over and over. And every time I dropped the nets, I was believing for a catch. I worked this lake all night long. I was working hard to catch the fish. But we didn't catch anything. We worked hard all night, but we didn't catch anything. I can see Jesus. He was standing there saying, well, you know what? You don't have to be the Messiah or a prophet to figure that out. I see your boats and I see your nets and I don't see any fish. So thank you for stating the obvious here, Simon Peter, but I had already figured that out. But what Jesus was actually saying here is he's saying, Simon Peter, will you commit again? Will you relaunch into the deep and do it one more time? Will you commit to drop your nets into the same water that disappointed you all night long? Think about this scene just for a moment. The frustration of a long night on the water. Now, let's just understand, Simon Peter was not fishing because this was his hobby. He was fishing because this was his livelihood. He's got a family to feed. He's got people to provide for. He's probably got people that work for him that need to be paid a wage. And he has worked all night long, and he doesn't have anything to show for it but frustration and sweaty clothes. He is frustrated with his, and now he's over there cleaning his nets, and he's cleaning nets that didn't catch anything. And if I had to clean something that wasn't any good for me that night, and I'm over there picking all the seaweed and all the junk and all the gook and all the empty beer cans out of my nets and whatever else was in there, if I'm over there taking all that stuff out and I didn't catch one fish in this net, and then there's Jesus, the nerve of Jesus to ask if he could use my boat. Can you just push me out there into the water so I can teach the people for a moment? And he's talking about, blessed is the kingdom. Real blessed I was last night, didn't catch a single fish. Jesus just sharing all kind of wisdom, and Peter's up there cleaning the net, and he's frustrated. And just about when he is done cleaning the net, he is ready to go home. He's worked all night, maybe get a quick nap, get some rest, get a glass of cold iced tea, something. Jesus is thinking, this is over. I just want to sleep this off. I'll come back tomorrow, and maybe I'll try it again. And there in that moment, Jesus says, I want you to launch out into the deep one more time. I want you to get in the boat, and I want you to do it again. And I say all of this so that you can see very clearly that a relaunch is not always convenient. A relaunch sounds really good, but it's not always convenient. Man, I get to relaunch my life. I get to relaunch my hope, relaunch commitment, relaunch my dreams. That sounds really good, but the reality is a relaunch is not always convenient. A relaunch was exactly what Simon Peter needed, but it's not what Simon Peter wanted. He wanted to take a nap, but Jesus knew that he needed a relaunch. He wanted to just go home and get some rest, but Jesus knew what he needed. And sometimes we get stuck in this same place where Jesus is saying, it's time for a relaunch. And you say, yeah, but I'm so frustrated, I don't want to follow through with that. Yeah, but I'm so tired and I'm so weary, I just want to go home and sleep it off. I'm at the place, I'm at the end of my rope, I don't want to relaunch. But a relaunch isn't always convenient. It might not be what you want, but a relaunch is actually many times exactly what you need. And after Simon's brief pity party and the explanation of his frustration, Jesus, I was out there all night. Thank you for your advice. I was out there all night and we didn't catch anything. And at the end of that little pity party, there are five powerful words that will change everything. But if you say so. But if you say so. I don't fully understand what you're asking me, Jesus, but if you say so. This plan doesn't really make sense to me right now, Jesus, but if you say so. What if we started adding those five words at the end of all of our irritations and the end of all of our excuses, and we said, I don't want to forgive, but if you say so. I don't want to change that part of my life, but if you say so. I really don't want to initiate that conversation, but if you say so. Or how about adding it to comments like this? I don't see how you could forgive someone like me, but if you say so. I don't know how you could ever love somebody with so many flaws, but if you say so. I don't know how you could ever use somebody like me for your glory, but if you say so. Do you see the but if you say so changes everything? I don't want to relaunch, but if you say so. I don't want to try again, but if you say so. I don't want to start over, but if you say so. Let's just look at what Simon's but if you say so to the relaunch got him in verse 6. It says this time when they relaunched, this time when they tried again, this time when they went back and had a do-over, this time when he relaunched the boat again, this time their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. They spent all night, no fish. Jesus gets in the boat, one cast of the net, and they've got more fish than they can even handle. This morning, I just want to give you quickly three stages of commitment. I want you to write these down this morning. Three stages of commitment. These are not in order. Everybody comes into the kingdom at different times and through different ways. However, these are just three stages. They can stand alone, but many times they work their way through this process that I'm going to give you this morning. The first stage of commitment is it's about me. It's about me. What can Jesus do for me? You see, Jesus gets in the boat and you get something that you didn't have before. Simon Peter was on a fishing drought and now he's on a fishing overflow once Jesus gets in the boat. And this is the exact same things that happen when we invite Jesus to get into our boat, when we ask him to come into our hearts and to step into our lives. When Jesus comes in, we experience things that we have never experienced before. When Jesus steps in, there's a sudden peace that comes with Jesus that we've never had before. There's a level of joy that comes that we've never had before. There is love and hope. There are things that come into our life that we've never experienced before. There is a forgiveness, a washing away of our sins, a cleanliness that we have never experienced before. And we didn't have it until Jesus got in the boat. And I don't know why we should be surprised. Because Jesus said this in John 10:10. He said, here is the reason that I came. I came that you might have and enjoy life. That you would have it to the full. That you would have it until it begins to overflow. That's why Jesus came. When Jesus steps into your life, there will be a level of abundance. When Jesus comes into your life, there will be a level of overflow. When Jesus steps into your life, things will get in your life that you did not previously have. And you say, the only way I could have gotten this is if Jesus got in the boat with me. So we commit to Jesus because what he puts in the boat. We commit to Jesus, say, Jesus, I'm going to commit to you. I'm going to commit to your word. I'm going to commit to you because you can give me something that nothing else can. I tried to get it in drugs. I tried to get it in alcohol. I tried to get it in women. I tried to get it in promotions. I tried to get it in degrees. I tried to get it in all these different ways, but only you can give me what you have given me, and I will follow you. I'm committing to you because of what you can do for me. What does Jesus do for us? Jesus, he brings our life alive. That's what Jesus does. He brings our life alive. He gives you purpose. Jesus causes his goodness and his grace to begin to overflow in your life. And this is where most of us begin. We need him in the boat because we need his mercy. We need him in the boat because we need his grace. We need him in the boat because we need his love and acceptance. We need him in the boat because we need his forgiveness. We need him in our lives because we need peace in the midst of our storm, and we need purpose in the midst of our struggles. And so we invite Jesus in and we commit ourselves to him because what he can provide us. But I want to make sure I put a note on this, is that sure, Jesus promised that he would be with us. And Jesus promised you that you would have access to an abundance of power. He promised you that you would have access to an abundance of wisdom and strength that you did not previously have. But he never promised you that life would be easy or trouble-free. Because when you read the story, even though Jesus is in the boat, Jesus is with them, the Bible says that the nets began to tear. They had a problem. Now you can say, well, a torn net is better than an empty net, and I would agree with you. However, a torn net is still a torn net. And then they've got a problem. They've got a problem. They have to start calling out for other people to come help them. Man, may we never get in that place, right? Where we have a problem, we have to ask somebody else for help, especially if you're a male in here, ask for directions, ask for anything. No, we're not doing that. And here they are hollering, hey, come help us. We're not prepared for this. We're not ready for this. We need help. And sometimes when problems step into your life, you have to start calling for help. And here the Bible says that the boats were on the verge of sinking. Let me just tell you this. If I'm out in the middle of the lake and the boat is on the verge of sinking, it might as well already be going under because my heart has already gone before it when we're on the verge. And so here they're Jesus is in the boat, and they still got issues. Jesus is in the boat, they still got trouble. Jesus is in the boat, and things still are a little shaky there for a while. The nets are tearing. The boat is about to sink, and Jesus is right there with them. So you can't just invite Jesus into your boat and think that it's smooth sailing from here on out. But we commit to Jesus many times for what he brings to us that nothing else can. Here's the second stage. Second stage, it's not just about me. Second stage, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus, and what can I do for him? What can I do for Jesus? Let's look in verse 8. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. When Simon Peter realized the magnitude of the miracle that had taken place, when he had a moment to connect all of the dots, when his brain could catch up to the fact that he did not make this happen, he did not make the fish get into the boat, it was Jesus that made that happen. In that moment of realization, something changed and he fell to his knees. In that moment, he fell to his knees and he said, "Lord, please get away from me. Your goodness is too much. Your holiness is too much. Your awesomeness, it's just too much. Get away from me. I don't deserve what I see in this boat. I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve the purpose that you've laid out in front of me. I don't deserve it." It's the exact same thing that happens to us. When you realize that you didn't work for that grace, You couldn't do anything to earn that love. In that moment, when you realize what's in your boat, it wasn't because you manipulated your way to get it. It wasn't that you worked so hard to earn it. No. It was Jesus that put it in the boat. And in that moment, you have a realization like Peter did, and you say, you are Lord. You are God. I could have never done this, but I am committing to you now, not because what you did for me. I'm committing to you now simply for who you are. You are Lord, you are Master, you are Savior, you are who you said you were. You see, that's another stage. It's about me, it's about Jesus. And here's the third stage, it's about others. It's about others. What can Jesus do through me for others? What can Jesus do through me for others? Others. In verse 10, the Bible says, Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." From now on, you will be fishing for people. I'm asking you, Simon Peter, to take the next step of commitment. Where it's not just about what I can do for you. It's not just what I can put in your boat. And it's not even just about how awesome I am. The next step of commitment is all about people. You see, Simon Peter had spent his whole life catching living things, catching fish that were alive and killing them and selling them for an earthly profit. Now Jesus is saying, I'm getting ready to relaunch you. And when I relaunch you, you're going to be catching dead things. You're going to be catching people who are dead in their sins, people who are dead in their transgressions. You're going to be catching dead things, and you're going to be causing the dead things to come to life. And it's not for an earthly profit, it's for a heavenly reward. And he said, I'm getting ready to relaunch you in this phase of your life. And you have to understand that it's not just about you, and it's not just about me. No, it's also about other people. So I'm sending you out now. Stop fishing for fish. I'm sending you out now to fish for people, that you would fish them into the kingdom of God. Amen. Simon Peter understood. It's not just about me. It's not just about what he can put in my boat. It's not just about salvation. It's not just about peace. It's not just about joy. It's not just about what he can do for me, although that's awesome, and I commit myself to him for it. It's not just about how awesome Jesus is. It isn't just the fact that he's Master and he's Lord and he's Savior. It's not just about that. Jesus said it's also about people. You've got to make a commitment to people. And the Bible says this in verse 11. As soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. As soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Now, people, that's commitment. As soon as they landed, they left everything. They left the boat, they left the fish, they left the nets, they left everything and followed Jesus. You see, walking away from everything that you have ever known so that you might find everything that you were created for, that's commitment. That's commitment. Walking away from everything that you have ever known so that you might find everything that you were created for. That is commitment. Walking away from the life that you've lived, the life that you've known, walking away from your comfort, walking away from everything that you've ever known so that you might embrace the call of God, so that you might embrace the purpose of God, so that you might walk into the destiny of God. Folks, that is commitment. They left everything to follow Jesus. This is the story. It's a picture of commitment, and it's quite impressive. It's quite impressive to consider what they walked away from. But just as we learned earlier, the journey isn't always easy. And sometimes things don't turn out the way we thought they would. The journey isn't easy, and sometimes things don't turn out the way that we thought they would. I'm going to ask the musicians to come now. Here they leave their boats, their nets, their fish, and they begin to follow Jesus. And And they go on a wild ride. This is quite the adventure. I mean, they see the dead raised. They hear Jesus talk about the Father. They see blind eyes open and deaf ears hearing. They see the miraculous. It is amazing what they are able to witness. And they're thinking, man, this really is it. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. He is our hope. And then one day they're walking into Jerusalem. And as they're walking in, man, the crowds are out there outside the city gates. And the crowds are cheering, and the crowds are shouting, Hosanna, 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 blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna. And the disciples are elbowing each other and saying, hey guys, this is catching on. It's not going to be long and we're all going to be famous. It's not going to be long and Jesus is going to be setting up his earthly rule. It's not going to be long, guys, and everything that we walked away from, we're going to see it right here in Jerusalem. They were so excited. It's going to be everything that they hoped for. This was everything that they had dreamed about. And 7 days after that moment, Jesus is dead. Then 7 days, they see Jesus crucified on a cross and buried in an empty tomb. And I can see as those disciples are left with their own thoughts thinking, this was not how I thought it was going to end. This was not in my plan. I walked away from everything. I left my hometown. I left my house. I left my business to follow him. I walked away from it all for this. I didn't have this in the plan. I never thought it would end this way. And then after Jesus is resurrected, he pops in on the disciples 2 times as they're just sitting in a room. They got the door locked because they're terrified. They're uncertainty. They don't know what's going on. They've got the door locked. They're hiding because they don't know if they're next. 2 times Jesus just pops in the room. Says, here are my scars. It's just like I told you, I'm alive. But just as fast as Jesus walked in, boom, he was gone again. And they're left with the same questions. They're left with the same uncertainties. They're left with the same thoughts. The same frustrations. The Bible says one night, John chapter 21, Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing. I don't know what else to do but to go back to all I've ever done. I don't understand what's going on. I'm in an unfamiliar situation right now, and I thought it was going to be different, and I thought we were going to have a different place right now, and I'm going back on the Sea of Galilee. I'm going fishing. James and John say, hey, all right, we're coming with you. The Bible says a few others said, we'll join in too. The Bible says that they were out there all night long and they didn't catch a thing. Does that sound familiar? All night long, didn't catch a single fish. The Bible says that the sun was starting to come up and there's a man on the shore. And he hollers out there to the disciples and he says, hey guys, y'all caught anything? They say, no. It's a bad night. Fish aren't biting. The man on the shore who was Jesus, but they didn't know, he says, throw your net on the other side of the boat. That's where the fish are. They take their net, throw it on the other side of the boat. The Bible says there were so many fish in the net, they couldn't even get the net back into the boat. And John stands up and says, it must be Jesus. And when Peter hears that it must be Jesus, that's what he was thinking too. And he dives in the water and he begins to swim to the shore. And when he gets out of the water and he runs to Jesus, Jesus is sitting beside a campfire. He's already got some fish on the grill and some biscuits set aside because the disciples are about to have breakfast. And after breakfast, Jesus pulls Simon Peter to the side. He asks one simple question. He says, Simon, do you love me? Do you love me? Simon replies that, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, well, feed my lambs. Jesus asked him again, Simon, do you really love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. Jesus said, then take care of my sheep. The Bible says that Jesus asked him a third time, Simon Peter, do you love me? And Simon Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then take care of my lambs. What was that all about? What is this whole story about? This whole story is about one thing. It's about Jesus asking Simon Peter, Simon, will you relaunch just one more time with me? I know it's been confusing, and I know your heart's been broken, and I know you've been frustrated. And I know there's a lot of mistakes, and I know you denied me, and I know all about that. And I know you turned your back on me, and I know you cursed me, and I know you weren't there for me when I needed you. I know all of that, but I just need to know, do you love me? And if you say you love me, then will you please just relaunch one more time with me? Will you just try it one more time? Will you go with me just one more time? Will you just drop your nets just one more time? Will you walk away from that boat just one more time? Will you go with me? Will you commit to me just one more time? Will you do it just one more time? Will you relaunch your commitment? See, some of you might feel like Simon Peter here. And man, 10 years ago, things were going great. 10 years ago, man, you were committed. You walked away from everything. You said, Jesus, my life is yours. It belongs to you and you alone. And you followed Jesus. But somewhere along the way, some things happened. And disappointment and failure rose up in your life. And you find yourself like Simon Peter on a boat in the middle of the night, lost, not knowing what your future has in store for you. But I believe this morning that Jesus is asking you, do you still love me? Do you really still love me? Do you really love me? And if your response is the response of Simon Peter and you say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, then I believe Jesus is saying, will you just relaunch your commitment one more time? Will you just try it one more time? Will you just commit again? Will you just walk away from what you've known? Will you just leave it behind just one more time? Will you just believe that your tomorrow can be different than your yesterday? Will you just go with me and believe that you don't have to have everything that's held you back in your yesterday hold you back for your tomorrow? Will you just relaunch your commitment one more time? See, this morning, I believe there's some people sitting on the boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And you never thought you would be back there. You never thought you would be back there. Peter never thought he would be back there. Because when he left with Jesus, Jesus said, you're going to spend the rest of your life fishing for people. But yet he finds himself throwing the net back, fishing for fish. You never thought you would be in the place that you are today. You never dreamed that you would be back doing the same thing that you said you would never do. You never dreamed that you would be back fishing for something that you promised yourself you would never fish for. But yet you find yourself in that place. And yet Jesus is standing on the shore saying to you today, will you just relaunch commitment one more time? Will you just commit again? Will you just try it one more time? Because if you will, I'll fill your boat up with something that you're not going to find anywhere else. If you will make one more commitment, you'll see me differently than you've ever seen me. If you will just relaunch your commitment one more time, you will begin to fish for the right things again. And you will realize that life is all about people. Will you stand with me this morning?